moved and I'm meeting so many new people. And authenticity has been on my mind for a while now, actually, like how I'm showing up in my relationships. And I always think about it myself too, like, are you being true to yourself? I think I'm doing a pretty good job. So let me not beat myself up. But, but yeah, authenticity has just really been on my mind. But I don't know if it's silly. I don't know if I'm trying to be too many things at once. But either way, I really wanted to talk about authenticity, what it means to be authentic. How do you be authentic in all the different moments of your life? What that means to you, what that means to me. And then something about this also being Pride Month makes me even more so think about authenticity, because with Pride, you're showing the world, like you're saying, this is me and here it is.
Right. So I think what came up most immediately is to be able to accept yourself as you display various versions of yourself. I think when we find ourselves in this loop of assuming that there is just this one version of us that is like the penultimate version, it is above all others. This is the truest of the true. It puts a lot of pressure on ourselves to even remotely assume that we can achieve that, because we are the thing that is putting it up on a pedestal that makes it separate from ourselves. There's always going to be this pressure of needing to keep it up there in some way, shape, or form. Last night, I got angry about something where I felt such a deep, visceral anger and rage that was flowing through my body, but I was able to actually be the witness of that experience and actually allowing myself to feel on a deep cellular level where I was holding tension in my body. What is causing this sensation to come up? And where in my life have I been self-deceiving in the sense of not allowing myself to feel the experience and trying to then reroute the energy into showing up in something that is more curated? A lot of that has now helped me to be in a state of remembrance that at all times I can have my back, no matter what version I am showing. Where authenticity is concerned, I really feel like once we are able to know what are the core values and core expressions of us that show up without us even needing to try or do anything about it, then those become our authenticity markers at that time, but also giving us the room to recognize that as we continue to go through our transformations, those core values can change. And it's really just about allowing what is actually presented to us in its immediacy to be exactly what it is. I don't think that we need to assume that there is a better version of ourselves out there, because by saying that alone already demeans the version of yourself that you're occupying, because you're already, without saying it directly, this version isn't good enough. This version needs to be that version because this version can't get it together.
I think I feel that a lot sometimes when I didn't work out or I didn't eat well, you know, that day. I sometimes think you can be doing this better, but I do have this version in my head of this girl that eat all these plant-based meals and I don't know, that meditates and prays and works on the podcast, you know, like all these things. And if I'm not that version, I do feel like I'm not doing my best. Like I'm not being the best version of myself, but I kind of wonder where that ideal came from or how I even would know that that is the truest version of myself. I don't think it is now that I'm chatting with you. I know I mentioned it a bit earlier with being Pride Month. Can you talk to me a little bit about that experience for you? Because you have to obviously show some authenticity when you are sharing with people that this is also part of me, especially with parents and especially with friends or close people and family members.
Right.
What was that like for you?
I would say that the first memory is I was maybe 9. I think maybe 9, 10 in that sort of range. Even from early in my childhood, I was very self-aware, at least in the sense of feeling into my body and knowing what my body is responding to in my immediate environment. You know, seeing other boys my age and the sensation that I feel versus when I'm then observing girls in my surroundings, going to school and whatnot. And I remember actually telling my mom when I was, I think that was around 8, 9. She was in my room and we were just sitting on the bed and telling her, oh, mom, I'm gay. And she turned around and the look in her face actually created such a visceral like collapse that I was like, ooh. And then I played it off by saying something to the effect of like, oh, when I'm saying gay, I mean like happy or whatever. And then she never broached it. She just continued to do what she was doing. And I think that like mothers always know, there's always that inherent knowing. You are already picking up all of those undercurrents. And I can say that now where my mom is concerned, like she's stated her views. I've stated my views, but we still have love for each other.
Wow, that's kind of really young for you to have that kind of awareness, like even before 13.
Yeah. No, because and it's interesting because it feels like very much a sensory thing. Like my body, there's this, I guess, noticing this hype of attunement within my body and feeling into just like the different sensations. And it's interesting because even as I'm saying this out loud, it feels like I remember the feelings of things more so than the actual happenings of the thing, right? Like in the sense of what were the details and the ways in which something was like expressed or explained, but it was more like, oh, I'm feeling the energy or the frequency of this thing. I guess also translated, at least where my father was concerned, obviously, that was not something that he approved of and he let that be known. And then even when I got into like high school, there was a bit of resistance there in the sense of not feeling fully comfortable, more so from the standpoint of feeling like I can lose my friends if they know this part of me. It's funny, right? Because it does show me that the type of people that I have in my life are of vital importance to my satisfaction, my well-being. Because even when I was thinking about the difference between when I actually told my friends, right? Like, hey, yeah, at the time I was then using, I guess, bisexual. And then I felt like, oh, that doesn't feel exactly right. And then I ended up like revisiting it and then just saying like, oh no, I'm actually like gay. And they were like, yeah, cool, no problem. I guess my view on it, I personally, through my own lived experience, have not really felt the, I'm going to say, need or importance of my sexuality in the sense of it is what it is, because at the end of the day, you're having this particular sexual engagement with this physical form. That's how I perceive it. So I think when I observe people, I guess, attempting to solidify their identity through what I would almost define as just a happening, I don't fully resonate with that because I just feel like it's just a part of your lived experience. And if you're, and this comes back to this whole kind of pedestal analogy, if you are then basing your identity off of something that is quite hollow, right? And it is really just you fulfilling or filling that frame that says, I have to make this into my entire persona. I find that it can actually create a lot of fragility because of it not being grounded with all the other parts of you. So if you are kind of like elevating this above all other versions of you and you're like coloring your entire experience through that specific lens, well, then that's all that you're going to see.
I want to pivot a little bit to diversity and sexual orientation and how that fits together and get your perspective on it. Because I've always felt that this was really strange. You can say, I'm gay in a professional setting and automatically people imagine what you're doing behind closed doors in that very intimate moment and with whom or what gender you're doing it with. Mm-hmm. If I say to someone, I am Indian, mm-hmm. or I am from Barbados, mm-hmm. they don't imagine what I'm doing behind closed doors when I say those two words. I guess the bigger discussion here is, what does diversity mean to you? And how does sexual orientation fit into that? Not just what corporations are publishing during Pride Month or what they have on their website. And listen, this is probably a bigger discussion, but what are the markers of diversity to you? And is sexual orientation in that, or is it skin color? To me, true diversity is not, doesn't have anything to do with the color of your skin, but is more so the diversification of your thought, right? Like you and I think very differently about like work ethic. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic because it gives us a diverse perspective on a subject matter, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I think because again, the attachment to this identity, and as we are trying to, and I put in quotations, trying to find ourselves, we can sometimes enter into frames that we perceive to be the best fit, but then you still feel alone because you still haven't truly seen yourself because you're only focusing on an expression, but you're not seeing the full expansion of what it is that you are here to do. That just has to do with how do you see yourself? Because you can tell all of the, you can tell the world about what you're into, right? But at the end of it, you're coming home to yourself because there's nobody, there's not a person, there's not a cause, there's not anything out there in the world that can fill that but you. So you have to be able to still, at the end of it, turn inward. What is it that I'm really attempting to communicate and express in the world? And I know that we're utilizing the topic of being gay or being on just like the spectrum of
sexuality
and just different orientations and everything. But this is all being just used as an example to recognize you still got to come back to you. It still comes back to you. It still comes back to your expression in the world and what feels correct for you.
How do you introduce yourself to people?
Hi, I'm Sage. What do you do?
You know, for a long time, I actually didn't know you were gay. We were like, what, friends for like a month maybe? Mm-hmm. And I just, but I don't ever think in too much into these things either. That's probably also why it is. I just like to get to know a person. And I remember it was your birthday and I took you out for breakfast, right?
Yeah.
And then that's when we started talking about like relationships and I really started getting to know you out of a professional setting.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and I remember feeling surprised because I definitely either hadn't thought about it or I didn't know it. Like there's no way I could tell. You know, as well. But look, like you're not going to be able to tell something you're not looking for also.
True. Exactly.
So I think that you do a good job of showing all of yourself without showing just one version of yourself, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm truly thankful for even this conversation. Like it is acting as a reaffirmation to what are the things that I deem to be of value and importance. And I recognize a lot of it comes back to, one, are you choosing yourself and being there for yourself and holding space for yourself? And then as you are engaging with people, like, what is the depth at which you are preferring to enter into? Now, again, you can keep, and I'm not saying that superficial conversation is like a bad thing or whatever. It just is. But I recognize that the preference is like being able to actually explore with others on this deeper ethereal sort of realm and to be able to like play with like ideas and the ways in which we conceptualize reality. And like those are the things that satisfy me, that stimulate me, you know, and then moving from a place of then empowerment, right? Like to recognize, oh, you can actually see the entire lived experience as being like a genie in a bottle, right? Like we speak these things into our life and allow them to holographically map back to us, oh, these are the things that we prefer to indulge in. Yeah. So that's why, like, I think sometimes the fixings, they can assist in the flavoring, but it's not the entirety of the flavor.
I was thinking how I actually never even thought about this before, but how I introduce myself to people. Mm-hmm. And there is always this element of significance also, mm-hmm. that within the first couple of sentences that are out of my mouth, I need to establish significance right away. Mm-hmm. And it's a very masculine trait that I have, actually. Mm-hmm. Because you'll hear a lot of, like, CEOs, or you'll hear people, and this is really probably an ego thing, but you'll hear them, ah, I've built this, blah, 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 blah. You know, whatever. I'm like, oh, I worked at the White House, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, that's my thing. But number one, I wonder what that's about, because that's also a version of myself.
Right.
And second of all, I don't know that that's being the most authentic version of myself, because I have experienced people that I have to, like, ask them questions to get to know about them, you know? Mm-hmm. And I kind of love that, because it automatically shows me their humility. Mm-hmm. Probably this is something I'm working on, right? I think it's because, like, I'm in the professional world, I'm building the podcast, I'm constantly pitching the podcast to guests. So I have to establish this type of significance. Like, why do I bring value to you? How can you bring value to me? Why is this a valuable experience for us? You know, in the dating world, it's the same thing. It's like, why do I bring value to you? Why do you bring value to me? And why should we enter into this thing? Like, you know, it's kind of like I'm always on an interview. Like, it feels like in my life.
Everything's a podcast.
Yeah, right, right. And I think that that's probably why I'm having such a problem with authenticity, because I'm constantly having to establish significance and show this valued version of myself,
right,
in the world.
So, what I would then ask within that is, what version of you allows you to just be present?
I was born in Barbados, so the Barbadian version of me, we call it Bajan, which is a shorter way of saying Barbadian, but the Bajan version of me.
Does that version of you feel good to you?
When I'm there, I don't have to establish this type of significance. All of my best friends know I do a podcast.
Right.
Well, me since I was 16. Mm-hmm. I'm very grounded. Mm-hmm. I can say the most outrageous shit. Mm-hmm. I'm like, they're laughing, it's funny, it's nothing is offensive. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm an offensive person, but you know, I'm just, what I say, whatever comes into my mind. There's no space in between what I think and what I do. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how to translate that in America. Like, I don't know how to translate that here to new people.
So that's interesting. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I love this. Okay. This is exactly, like, these are the type of conversations and explorations that I love. Okay, cool. So let's play with these different versions that were kind of being shown. So we have the masculine significant Anna. And then we also have the down-to-earth Bayesian Anna. Now,
feels very feminine.
Which feels very feminine in its expression.
Yeah.
And then I would then want to know, do you want to, like, start to engage in that more feminine expression?
I don't want to have to establish significance.
So we want to take it off the pedestal.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So recognizing that version of you that puts on, or yeah, just cloaks yourself with the significator energy is not a good thing or a bad thing. It's not better or worse than any other version of you, which now you can recognize that, since it is now on a level playing field with also the Bayesian infused Anna that just feels natural to you. They're both on the same plane. So now you don't have to see one as being better than the other. Now within that, because now we're able to release the energetic charging that put it up there in the first place, to recognize that that version of you is as equally impactful, inspiring, relatable, that allows you to now interface with the other people. But what I am gathering from this experience is you giving yourself the opportunity to recognize that the Bayesian Anna, or just, and I'm just using that term, but really the energy that is infused into the Bayesian Anna can go anywhere in the world and show up as herself. It does not need to be a case that you need to now click off that version and code switch in order to get through in life and then connect with these people. Now, I can say that you have had fantastic podcasts and all of that, and I'm sure that you allowed Significator Anna to come to the surface, and it has allowed you to have certain experiences. But let's now start to reframe and come back into ourselves to recognizing that that version does not inherently bring the level of success and self-recognition that you prefer to experience. But when you were operating in the Bayesian Anna infused version of you, you're cool. Like, you're like, this is exactly it. Like, this is how I want to be able to show up. And I think that this is what allows, even for these conversations, when we talk to each other, to feel so resonant, because I feel like I'm talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking to a put on version of you. I am talking to you. The you that I know that you feel within yourself, this is how I prefer to actually engage with my people. I want to talk like this. I want to just be in a state of ease. These are the things that I'm into. I like going on, like, you know, just going and riding my bike and watching the sunset, going out on dates, having a fantastic time, meeting up with my friends. That is the version of you that you are here to allow. That's what you're here to do.
Yeah.
So Significator Anna is okay, right? It's okay. It just is a version, but the version that you prefer to embody, you know that already. So that's why when the difficulty was, at least through my lens, is coming from almost trying to, to climb the pedestal that you built that puts that version of you up there. Now bring everything down. Everything is level. Everything is on the same plane. So there isn't a version of you that's better than any other version. You are here right now in this now moment showing up as yourself. Mm-hmm. You are communicating the things that feel resonant to you. You are communicating your perspective and the way in which you are perceiving the world. Other people will have different perceptions of the world and recognize, and guess what? It's all perfect. Life is continuing to flow exactly as it is. So that's just my perspective on it.
Yeah, I super appreciate it. And also I'm thinking, why does this somehow definitely feel like, drum roll, a worth problem?
And that's the thing, even with regards to that. And I mean, I know that I haven't really brought up things around like human design in a bit, but yeah. I will like plug in here. Like for both of us, we have open ego centers, open ego and heart centers. So what can end up happening for us is that we can feel the ebbs and flows of worth. Feeling like we actually have, are we worthy? Do we deserve this? Is this, do they need to prove their loyalty? Do I need to prove my loyalty? These are all questions that will naturally come up, and recognizing that it's okay. We are not here in this particular lifetime to prove our worth and in any way, shape, or form. So when the questions of worthiness come up, I think what this is allowing us to do is to get curious with ourselves. And to also practice presence with ourself. That when it does come up, don't judge it. It is what it is. If it shows up, okay, I kind of feel like maybe I deserve more for this or whatever. Okay, get curious about that. Why do we feel that? Oh, that's interesting. Oh, I was feeling kind of like upset because this person said this thing to me. And now it's now iterating into this now present moment. But recognizing that you can have your back and recognize that, yeah, you're okay. And even if it lasts a couple of minutes, a couple of days, a couple of weeks, or it is a on and off expression, maybe every other month or something, that is all okay as it is, you know? So I think when we get caught up in trying to prove our worthiness, then that's where a lot of the tension comes, which then causes us to create versions of us that are here to prove our worth. And recognizing that they're there, we can do it from time to time, but more often than not, it doesn't always feel the greatest. So we can kind of just let that go.
Yeah. And I think when you asked me just now, what is the version of myself that feels the most authentic? I think that's a really good exercise for everybody, you know? Because if you don't even know what is the most authentic version of yourself, there's no way in hell you can show that to anyone else. Like, you can't show it to your husband. You can't show it to your kids. Your kids don't even know what authenticity is because they're seeing you play out all the roles in your life, which is, you know, entrepreneur or teacher or sister or daughter or whatever it is, right? I know even I have some friends that are in relationships, and they'll feel things on the inside. And I go, well, did you talk to him about it? And they said, no, we just kind of moved on, you know, like whatever. And I guess I'm wondering, from your perspective, how can they change that?
Oof, you've asked a very... the change can only happen if they want the change. Now, this is where the saying, familiarity breeds contempt. So when we... And this is a self-contempt. When we reckon...
Familiarity breeds contempt?
Contempt.
Contempt. Okay.
Contempt, yeah. So recognizing that when we are settled into a version of ourselves that we have fueled day in and day out in the way in which it has shown up, and then we identify that this is who we are and this is all that I ever can be, then of course you are then looking for people, places, and spaces that reinforce that very bias, that as a mechanical action that our mind does, in the sense of, and I'm not sure if you've like looked into, well, I know that you were like looking into things around like neurology and the ways in which, like, you know, the way that brain wires together, fires together, but then also looking at this aspect of our mind that has the reticular activating system that our brain essentially does a confirmation bias. Like, we are built in to looking in the world and looking for the things that are most resonant to us. So if your friends are then in a place of recognizing that this is something that they refuse to accept and acknowledge within themselves, there is no way that they can actually bring that up to their partner, and to bring it up in a way that shows up with a certain level of attentiveness, gentleness, care, because they're not even doing that within themselves. And the word that really keeps coming back to me is presence. And why I keep utilizing presence, and this presence shows up as you are there witnessing yourself, really there attentively focused on yourself in every given moment. You're there. Because I think it's so easy to like, and again, this is things that we have learned growing up where it's like we want the attention and we learn particular behaviors, usually as a child, and we kind of project that out there. And we're like, mommy, look at me. And like, mommy's like, no, I'm busy, do this thing. And then because we are unaware that, oh, we can actually give ourselves that attention in that moment, because that's not something that is consciously awakened within us, then we keep seeking it externally and trying to get that validation externally. I need you to look at me. I need you to look at me. I need you to hold space for me in this way. Yeah. So where that change aspect comes, that is an inward process. That is an inward journey to be able to then go and have a conversation or a reverie or a ritual with that version of ourselves that is still very much alive on a cellular level at 9 years old that felt like mommy didn't love me enough. Okay, well, guess what? I can give myself the love that I need because I energetically know how to tap into myself. And then that is what shifts our holographic experience to now engage with life in a way that actually feels satisfying. And I can give you a perfect example. I was on my walk and I was kind of feeling these emotional waves like moving through me and a friend message. And we were kind of just talking back and forth. And then they asked me, how am I doing? And I said, oh, well, I'm kind of just moving through these emotional sensations right now. And they just wrote, okay. Oh. A version of me would have been like, oh, they don't care, da 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 da, blah, 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 blah. And it would have created an entire story about that. And I literally smiled to myself because I said to myself, oh, but you actually can still hold space for yourself in this now moment because you know what you're feeling. And I'm also being present with myself with what I'm feeling, which now I am in this moment talking to you. And through our discussion, I am now feeling the satisfaction of being seen and recognized through our conversation. All the things that I now wanted to say and bring up and talk about, I'm getting the chance to. And I have somebody on the other side who is equally dialed in as I am.
And you know what I will say about that too, is when they said okay to you and you held space for yourself, that is the selfless and thankless work that nobody sees behind the scenes. And if you didn't do that in that manner, in that way that you did it, there's no way in hell you would ever be able to experience this moment and appreciate this moment that we're having as much as you are now. You wouldn't even have been able to see it and feel it because you would have been in a spiral from earlier this morning.
Yeah, yeah. Caught up in a whole other story that had nothing to do with me.
Yeah, exactly.
I will add, there is a thankfulness because I am also giving myself that thankfulness.
Yeah.
And recognizing that it always comes back to how I'm then engaging with myself, looping myself back into myself to be like, hey, we're here. Thanks for being attentive. Thanks for listening as I'm unfolding this aspect of myself. Yeah. So, yeah.
And let me tell you, it is so wonderful to move through life, letting people be who they are. And it is like,
amen.
But it is so wonderful letting people be who they are and just letting things happen. Somebody doesn't text you back, cool, let them be who they are. Somebody doesn't acknowledge and see you in the moment, cool, let them be who they are. And then when someone does, cool, you're letting them be who they are.
Correct.
Incredible. It is the most incredible thing. I'll tell you this thing. I'm dating this guy that does not have any social media. And I have found this entire exchange, because I was thinking about authenticity and stuff. I was actually thinking about it last night when we were talking. I have no choice but to show him a version of me through just messaging and through voice notes. He doesn't see anything else. So he's not getting all this inside information about my thoughts. But it has been the most refreshing thing. And I was thinking to myself last night, like, why haven't you ever done this? You know, because social media, I think in the world that we live in general, is like TikTok and everything else. It's like a very cause and effect, you know, like constantly A-B testing things, like putting this thing out here and seeing if people respond or like whatever, you know, and somehow that's like hardwired now into my brain. And that over time, that compounded over time, number one, could make you lose yourself. And number two, you realize that you're not showing up authentically. There's some kind of other programming that's happening in your brain where, for example, you're establishing significance or you're leading with professionally, I'm different.
Right.
And I think it has a lot to do with the world that we live in and the competitiveness and the wanting to be remembered and valued and validated and seen.
Yeah. Well, and wanting to have a place to belong and recognizing that you are where you belong. Like you have to cultivate that. And I like the analogy that you had given. We were talking about like the gardener in his garden.
Yeah.
Right. Like that, that's your sanctuary. This is your oasis. This is like the area in which you need to invest your time, you know, your time, your energy, your attentiveness, because as you do that, it just naturally emanates in the world.
Yeah. I hope anybody that listens to this too, maybe this week, we just try to be more authentic. Don't try to establish anything, right? Or don't try to be different. Just try to be yourself, whatever that is, and yourself in your relationships that mean the most to you, mm-hmm. your circle of trust and your friends and your family, whatever you're feeling on the inside. You know, I always say this, I got it from Glennon Doyle. I didn't make this up, but your insides match your outsides.
Right.
And I think that's a really, really good stopping point.
Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you. I love these self-care episodes and these self-care conversations. They're freaking awesome.
Amazing.
As always, thank you so much again for spending your time with me.
Of course. Thank you for inviting me once again.
All righty. Bye.
All right. Bye.